Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is June the 20th, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor James Fetcher on with us and Professor Joe. And the first thing I want to do, there's several subjects we're going to be covering, but one subject is today is the solstice, or will be, human sacrifice in Denver, Colorado, of which I've been aware for a number of years. Now, one spook told me one time up on a mountain, because they do it because of the ley lines, power grids, ley lines, and Joe can explain more about that because he's quite aware that they're doing it there as well. He's discovered it. But William Casey's assistant, Otis Johnson, when he was CIA director, he was one of two immediate assistants that Casey had. And he had told me that they murdered Casey. Bush did by sticking a needle in his temple and causing him cerebral hemorrhage because he was going to go testify before Congress, and Bush was out of control as vice president and president, and that, or as vice president, and because of Iran-Contra, all the drugs and guns and the theft of America and everything else. So Casey got murdered. All the doctors at Bethesda Naval Hospital, all of them that worked on him around the clock, were dead within 6 months of suicide, either car crash, rollover, and or shotgun to the head, suicided, every one of them, because he was running his mouth. Otis said, because Otis went on selling. Well, Otis one time, as assistant to Casey, before Casey decided to turn on Bush, he had to have an order signed immediately because of what was going on someplace in the world. And so Otis got on an airplane, a jet, one of the Air Force, and flew out to Denver. And went over to the old Navari behind the Brown Palace Hotel, and he went to a tavern down there. I don't recall the name. Joe would probably fill you in. But it's on the corner. And he said there was a door between the bathrooms. Go through that door, take you over to the tunnel. He says, knock on the door. So he did. He took the order. Otis Johnson, to have Bush sign it. Some guy came to the door, big guy. What do you want? I got to have an order signed by George Bush. So he went over and mentioned that Bush closed the door. This is what Otis told me. He said, then Bush came to the door. He opened up the door and he says, come here. What do you want? He said, I got to have the sign, sir. He said, but I got to see your face. So he pulls his black hood back, and he says, and Otis looking around, he says, Otis, if you ever repeat what you've seen in there, he says, I'll personally come kill you. Do you understand that? He says, yes, sir, and he left. Now, he said, Stu, they were sacrificing a baby and drinking its blood, and there were a bunch of them, and they're doing it. Now, with that said, I've been exposing this for years, and someone even got kidnapped down in Oklahoma before the human sacrifice. And a kidnap of an infant, or it wasn't an infant, I think it was an 18-month-old. They like under 2 years of age is what they go for. But the younger, the better. And they do this. Now, Joe, I want you to jump in on this because you're familiar with this. Now, they do this on the winter and summer solstice in Denver, Colorado. So tonight, before midnight, they'll be having sex with kids, having their dinner or whatever. Then they go kill an infant between 12 and 3 a.m. And they send the Baphomet against their enemies, to try to kill their enemies and change things, their human sacrifice. There's a lot of them that go there. The ones that I'm aware of are the 12 Illuminatis. One is Larry Mizell of Denver, Colorado. It used to be Leonard Millman, my ex-witch doctor's father, until he died, and the entity that jumped in him, which are fallen angels, they call them aliens. He's one of them. Henry Kissinger's one. Daddy Bush is one. George Herbert Walker Bush. Meyer Rothschild. David Rockefeller. Patrick Wu of China. He likes to live in Dallas. Anwar Ben Shri, the head rabbi. And Pope Benedict that resigned. Paul Warburg and William Grace, Bill Grace Jr. Those are the ones that I'm aware of that will be at the party tonight. Usually they stay at the Brown Palace Hotel, or they stay at Larry Mizell's pad over there at Cherry Creek and at University Boulevard, the big tall building over there with all the fancy condos in it. That's probably where they'd be screwing the kids, by the way. Mizell's party house, other than this big house down in Cherry Creek. Anyway, with that said, Joe, you want to comment on this?
All right. Now, the sacrifice will take place tonight at the peak, which is 8:30 p.m. Now, usually when they do these sacrifices, they do it on the ascendancy, not on the descendancy. But they usually prefer the time of midnight to 3 a.m. in the morning. Now, whether they will wait until midnight their time remains to be seen. But the idea is there is a telluric energy that circles the Earth and it's called ley lines. And those are related to your lines of meridian in your body. You have lines of meridian. All you got to do is go to Chinese medicine and it'll explain it to you. But what they like to do is to influence mankind because those ley lines in the Earth affect the ley lines of meridian in your feet and then work out throughout your entire body. So what they do is they try to put negative energy. And there are different places, there are key points around the world. The old Amari happens to be one of them because the entire Denver area is connected to the great Argos Underground. And it's one of the deepest undergrounds in the world. The first one, I believe, is Pine Gap. So there will be a sacrifice that will happen maybe at 8:30 or it will happen at midnight Denver time. But there will be other places. One of the places is Arden, Delaware and Rose Valley, PA, because the Arcadian Ley Line passes through those two towns. And those two towns are Satanist towns dedicated to the fallen angel aliens. And that extends itself all the way down to Mexico, what they call the Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon. It's where the Aztecs used to sacrifice their victims. And I can guarantee you it still goes on to this day, but it's underground. Remember that, underground. So there you have a basic idea. And one of the things that you can do is you can be a prayer warrior to try to hold the hand of the executioner. So that'll give you a thumbnail sketch of what's going to happen tonight.
I tell you, Jesus Christ, to the blood, Joe, you're aware of it, I'm aware. Pretty powerful. But that's what's going to go on tonight. So if anybody's in Denver, take your cameras down to Yo Nabari. Start taking pictures. I hear that they build an above ground or, you know, a walkway between the top floor of the Nabari and one of the floors there in the Brown Palace Hotel. So you'll want to keep your cameras focused up there, too, because of the traffic that will be going in there. But, boy, if you could get me some footage, I will put it up on my internet site. With that said, Jim, you want to comment?
Well, Sue, after that, I mean, you know, anything I could report about other developments is trivial by comparison. So I think you and Joel are doing a great job of keeping the public informed of these sordid, massively corrupt developments that seem to be virtually unstoppable.
Well, with that said, they are unstoppable because these creatures have lived for thousands of years, he said. Otis Johnson said, whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law, Stu, he says, it lived for thousands of years before it inhabited after he died, Larry Mizell. Anyway, with that said, Jim, you've got several things to report on.
Well, I do, Stu. Brandon Tatum, who's himself a former Arizona police officer and who happens to be black, is a new book coming out, Beaten Black and Blue, Being a Black Cop in an America Under Siege, talking about the broader agenda behind the defund the police movement. He believes it's really an effort to change policing from local to federal. Here's part of what he has to say. I believe it's an agenda to completely destroy and dismantle local police departments so that the government can have control of law enforcement in this country and push a nationwide agenda. He explained if law enforcement is federalized and there are unconstitutional mandates or restrictions, such as those involving vaccines or guns, the federal government will be able to enforce them more easily. I believe the government has a lot more leverage federalizing these agencies, and that's the goal. I don't believe it has anything to do with the racism, police brutality. That's a talking point and much an even bigger agenda. According to the National Fraternal Order of Police, by the way, murder rates over the past year have skyrocketed in cities where police departments have been defunded. As of May 25th, for example, the murder rates in New York City and Chicago were up 22%, in L.A. 27%, Washington 35%, Philadelphia 40%, Minneapolis 56%, and Portland a staggering 800%. Moreover, when you look at murders being committed by blacks and whites, depending on their race, it turns out there are, for example, in 2013, there were 55 times more blacks killed by blacks than blacks killed by whites, which turns out to be a relatively minor occurrence. For example, whites are killed by blacks more than 10 times as often as blacks are killed by whites. Whites are killed by whites even slightly more often than that. So what we're getting is complete propaganda by citing only the kind of cases they care about and distorting their relative occurrence. In fact, if you look at nationwide crime, blacks lead in the commission of crimes in every category apart from those related to alcohol, where Native Americans prevail because they have a genetic incapacity to absorb alcohol. So I think Brendan's got it exactly right. To the unsuspecting person, it may seem bizarre that Black Lives Matter, which has become a household name, is endorsed by major corporations, has raised millions of dollars, has done nothing to uplift the black community, but it's because that's not actually its goal. To the unsuspecting person, that seems bizarre. The founding of Black Lives Matter is to do the very thing that has damaged the black community the most, and that's to believe in the absence of the father. They want to destroy the nuclear family. I'm just here to be a messenger of things I know and have experienced in research. I think it's invaluable for us to empower ourselves with knowledge. And everybody should do their own research to prove whatever you hear from me or from anyone else is true and factual. And you know, just look back at last summer where all these cities were ablaze, all the looting and rioting and arson. The Democrats want to talk about anything but that. And I believe that he's got it exactly right. The Black Lives Matter, the defund the police agenda is totally different. It's got nothing to do with saving black lives. It has everything to do with extending the control of the government over the American people. Stu, Joel.
Joel, why don't you comment on that? And I want to touch just for a moment before you say anything, Joel. The governor of Missouri, by the way, signed into law, and if a cop violates your rights by trying to take your gun from you, he can be sued up to $50,000 now. And they are ordered not to go in, be with the feds, don't support the feds at all if they want you to help raid somebody to take their guns. It's up to the feds. So he's in hot water, everybody thinks, but I don't think so. We have carry concealed without a permit as long as you don't have a felony and have a legal ID or driver's license. With that said, Joe.
All right, I'm going to start this out in a very simple term so that people can understand that and understand what we're getting at. Number one, the 10th Amendment gives all color of law to the states, not to the federal government, because our ancestors learned decentralize the power. And the barrel of the gun is the number one power. The barrel of the gun is to lie within law enforcement. So therefore, the color of law lies at the state level, not at the fed level. And so therefore, when you have this Homeland Security intrusion or the FBI intrusion in the local affairs, it's going against what the intention of the Constitution was. And so, therefore, when we talk about defund the police department, what is happening is that these Bolsheviks, and that's what they are, these Bolsheviks are trying to destroy law enforcement and give the power to the federal level, which would be a kind of a Stasi. So that's what's going on with defund the police departments, to get rid of local control. So therefore, what we're seeing now is, all the way from police departments having to take care of lawsuits, to shootings, to et cetera, is to turn everything upside down and to centralize the power. And a good example of that is what happened with the Chauvin case. There was no way that there would be any objective jury deliberation because of what the mass media did. And so what we're seeing here is, first, right about chaos through defunding the police, empty the prisons, and that's what they've done because there are so many blacks in jail. So therefore, the crime increases, and the police departments can't make the arrest. So police departments are now having their hands tied, and we're seeing an explosion in chaos. A good example of that is what's happening in Chicago. So on top of that, that's connected to a change of what I would call Western culture. That would be the best words to use, change in Western culture, where people that are coming into this United States do not understand the idea of separation of powers. They don't get it. All they know is, what can the government give me? And so now we have, for the month of March, we had 180,000 illegal intrusions into the United States on the southern border. So now we're seeing now where not only are you having to deal with illegal aliens and what they bring with them, we're now having to see to where banditry is really ruling New York City. And the same thing with Chicago. So defunding the police department is to bring about that chaos.
That's right. Well, that's right. Go ahead, Jim.
Those are all excellent points, Joe. I'd add that the defunding the police combined with the riots and looting have convinced every thinking American that they cannot count on the police to defend them if there were an intruder or other threat to their well-being. So if they can't defend themselves, they're off the creek without a paddle. I think, therefore, we've seen this huge surge in purchases of weapons, handguns, and rifles by the American people, who understand that if they can't defend themselves, they can't count on the police to do it. We know it can take the cops as long as 20 minutes to respond to an emergency call, but the mayhem tends to occur in the first 5 or 6. So by the time the police arrive with guns, because you didn't have guns of your own to defend yourself, your daughter may have been raped, your wife murdered, and you mocked. So I think that the effect of all of this defund the police has been to destroy the efforts by the Democrats to take our guns. I think their gun control agenda is dead in the water.
Well, I know this, you know, First Amendment and then freedom of speech, and the Second Amendment is to defend that, your gun. So if they come for the guns, that's when you use it on them. But Jim, you had several other subjects that you want to touch on too.
Let's add this one point. Just recently, within days, the head of the Department of Justice, Garland, stated on national media the immediate threat to the the United States' security is the white supremacist.
Oh, man. The white man.
All right. Now, let me give you this statistic. This comes out of the Department of Justice, and it was a statistic that was from 2013 to 2015, and let's say that it has increased. There were 750,000 assaults of black on white. I'll say that again. There were 750,000 assaults of black on white. There were 420,000 Hispanic assaults on whites. There were 56,000 assaults of white on black, and 120,000 of white on Hispanic. Who is and what is a white supremacist? According to these statistics, who's being attacked? Who is really being attacked? And so what we have here is that we have something in which the right of self-defense is being taken away.
Very good point, Joe.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. You would suppose that all that rioting and looting and arson of last summer was being committed by White Lives Matter. I mean, this is ridiculous. In every category of crime, the major problem is black committing crime after crime after crime, not whites. Moreover, they're trying to bolster their case for a problem with white supremacists and Trump supporters on the January 6th event, which they call an insurrection. But Tucker Carlson has been on fire this week, just taking it apart, discovering that the FBI was involved in organizing and carrying out the attack on the Capitol. He discussed 400 arrests from January 6th, questioned why so many indictments mentioned unindicted co-conspirators, that those were persons who were FBI agents or FBI informants who drove the plot to attack, that they have 10,000 hours of footage from the Capitol that has not been released. Tucker is just doing a brilliant job on this, even though I think he is naive in some ways about conspiracies in this case. He's just blowing it apart. Without fail, the government has thrown the book at most people who were present in the Capitol on January 6th, he said. It was a nationwide dragnet to find them. Many are still in solitary confinement, but strangely, some of the key people participating have not been charged. Look at the documents. The government calls them unindicted co-conspirators. What does it mean? That potentially every single case of FBI officers. He pointed to the example of Thomas Caldwell, a 66 former naval officer who allegedly conspired with members of Oathkeepers. Caldwell's charging document says he spent the night before the riot staying in the same hotel as person two. And it's rather striking that with regard to some of these individuals, they're only identified by number. Person one, person two, person three. And that, of course, is to conceal their identity, which might lead directly to the FBI. Another individual, person three, led Caldwell to believe there'd be a quick reaction force participating in storming the Capitol. But wait, here's the interesting thing, said Tucker. Person two and person three were organizers of the riot. The government knows who they are. Well, the government has not charged them. Why is that? You know why. They're almost certainly working for the FBI. So FBI operatives were organizing the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, according to government documents. I would draw a parallel here with 9/11, because we have also on 9/11 a case of the government research contradicting the government's narrative, for the U.S. Geological Survey studied dust samples from 35 locations in lower Manhattan, discovered they contained elements such as barium, lithium, lanthanum, tritium, some of which only exist in radioactive form, that would not have been present at 9/11, in particular the destruction of the Twin Towers, not been a nuclear event. So here we have documentation from the Capitol intrusion on January 6th, showing that based upon the government's own documents, it appears to have been led by the FBI. But of course, it's being blamed on white supremacists and Trump supporters, who they fear far beyond reason. It's insulting, it's grotesque, and the FBI, I'm sorry to say, appears to have become a terrorist organization of its own.
Oh, man. What else you got to touch on, Jim?
Yeah, the University of Florida finding dangerous pathologies on children's face masks. A laboratory at the University of Florida analyzed a small sample of face masks and detected the presence of 11 dangerous pathogens that include bacteria that cause diphtheria, pneumonia, and meningitis. This was inspired, Stu, by Gainesville parents concerned about the harm to their children from wearing face masks all day at schools in 90-degree Fahrenheit weather. So they sent out 6 masks, 5 worn by children aged 6 to 11 for 5 to 8 hours at school, and 1 worn by an adult, to be analyzed for contaminants at the University of Florida's Mass Spectrometry Research and Education Center. Of the 6 masks, 3 were surgical, 2 cotton, 1 polygator. Masks that had not been worn and the teacher worn at school acted as control samples. 5 of the masks were found to be contaminated with parasites, fungi, and bacteria. Only 1 mask was found to contain a virus that could cause a fatal systemic disease in cattle and deer. Other, less harmful pathogens that can cause ulcers, acne, and strep throat were also detected. None of the controls were contaminated with pathogens. While samples from the front, top, and bottom of the t-shirt found proteins that are commonly found in skin and hair, along with some commonly found in soil, indicating, of course, that it had, in fact, been worn. A woman, whose name is Amanda Donahue, who has 3 elementary school kids, sent these to the lab because her sons broke up with rashes from prolonged mask wearing. Our kids have been in masks all day, 7 hours a day. The only break they get is to eat or drink. While students do not have to wear a mask outside, masks are still required inside. This is all insulting beyond belief. Everyone who's done any serious research on masks knows how damaging they are to human beings and other living things. They recycle oxygen depleted air. They're not only recycling the kind of bacteria that leads to pneumonia, where even Tony the Rat, Fauci, and his colleagues discovered that most of the deaths from the Spanish flu were not caused by the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia infections, which are promoted by wearing masks, and that it also, of course, limits the ability to get oxygen to the brain, killing brain cells, which is irreversible. Unlike skin cells, for example, which are regenerated, brain cells cannot. It is therefore expected that we're going to have an outbreak of dementia in the near term. Within the next couple of years, we're going to see a stunning increase in dementia. Meanwhile, unsurprisingly, pressure was put on the University of Florida to try to undermine this report. It's now issued a statement about this, that data released by the Center for Disease and Control and Prevention found visits to emergency departments for suspected suicide attempts by adolescent girls were up over 50% the past year. This is another reason, of course, to be concerned about the lockdowns. The proportion of emergency department visits to mental health were up 25% for children aged 5 to 11, 31 for adolescents 12 to 17. In response to the lab study, however, they wanted to minimize and publish the following statement. The University of Florida Mass Spectrometry Research and Education Center routinely conducts lab tests for members of the public as requested, as it did for Newton Donahue. However, it's important to note we have no way of establishing the chain of custody for these masks and to what conditions they were exposed prior to the lab test. The Donahue conclusion is premature, and a more controlled peer-reviewed research is warranted. Also important to note that the CDC indicates wearing a mask is among the most effective measures for preventing and mitigating the spread of COVID-19, which I guarantee you is complete and total bullshit. How much do they need to certify the chain of custody they were given the mask by Ms. Donahue? And they conducted the studies and it yielded results. And now because they're politically contradicting the official narrative, they want to disavow them any way they can. I find this all completely outrageous, and it illustrates in passing the exercise of control over even universities, which cannot conduct normal studies for the public who finances them, for the taxpayers, in this case of Florida, without bowing to the official narrative. This is disgusting beyond belief.
Now, folks, this comment comes from a professor at the University of Minnesota, Jim Fetzer, and an ex-captain in the Marine Corps, which I respect because I was in the Marine Corps, one of the most outspoken people who fell in the category of 18 U.S.C. 1379, I think it is, the Whistleblower Act, because of exposing Sandy Hook as a hoax, which it is. So I give him credit for those things, among others, being a friend and having his own program and blasting apart all the time. Now, Jim.
Yes.
I have a couple of things. One is a picture that I've got to get up. It came off of Google. And it shows the CIA Denver provides funding and psyops to Schreiber Air Force Base, USA, to the Fusion Centers, DHS and FBI building, Fusion Centers, from the NSA who hacks the phones and electronics from Lockheed Martin satellites to Denver, Colorado, etc., which means gang stalking, house break-ins, chemical attack poisonings, etc., and family relations destroyed, isolation. Okay? This is what they do to people. And they can do it through your telephone, folks. Through your telephone. Now, I want to touch on that. Because as long as you have a chip inside your phone, they can track your movement, where you're at, whether you got it off or not. Now, Super Spook Otis Johnson and some of his buddies who I was had the honor of meeting, nearly had the honor of meeting General Flynn, because I put him at the airport up there in Grand Island. General Flynn stepped off the steps, saluted him, and he saluted him. And I drove off after he saluted me, and I saluted him back. He didn't know who I was until Otis got on the plane. Well, General Flynn's a good guy. And Scott Bennett's a good guy. And they share a common attorney, Sidney Powell. But the point is, he told me as long as you got your chip in your phone, they can track you. They can track you, folks. So I found out that these newer phones, you can't pull the back off and pull the battery. You don't need to. But the chip slides out on the side of the phones. Check your phone, folks, and see if you have a little hole there. If you do, just get a tiny bitty screwdriver and pop it out and get your chip out. That's all you got to do. Shut the phone off, pop the chip out, and you can't be tracked. I thought I'd bring that up because they're using the telephones not only to do surveillance upon us, but they're using the phones to weapon as a weapon against us. Either one of you care to comment, Jim or Joe?
Go ahead, Jim.
Go for it.
All right. The idea is take a look around your neighborhood. It's called the 5G towers. Those are built off of what they call the old cell phone towers. And Lorraine Murray, many years ago, stated, because all the cell phone towers have gridded in everything around the world. So now, when they want to find somebody, all they do is they check out through their algorithm the person that they want to find out what they're doing, and they do it.
And they triangulate you off the cell phone towers. That's how they do it. Even if your phone's off, you got the chip and they can triangulate you off the cell phone towers. By the way, I do have an interview with a nurse, Amber, who had dual periods per month for 10 months. When did the seizures, her brain was shrinking and blood was coming out of her ear like the lab over there in China. A couple of pictures when that first happened, the so-called virus or the epidemic. But she was being hit with cell phone towers in Bakersfield, California, where she lives. She started interviewing all these women around town. She found 100 of them that were having two periods per month. They buried the cell phone towers, buried the lines in the street, cut trenches and asphalted over it. And guess what? The ones that were hooked up to it were still doing two periods per month. The rest of them, within 2 to 3 months, went back to normal 28-day cycles. Just thought I'd inform you. That's 5G and what it does to you. Now, there's an interview of her on my web bar. There's two radio bars up there now, like this show is going to be on the second radio bar because it gets too long, hard to load. Go down on that, go back to a year ago or so, year and a half ago, and look for two periods per month. Listen to the interview, folks. You got any comment, Mr. Fetzer?
Oh, Joe, you're doing so much good work there, and, you know, it's just tragic what's happening to America. This is just not the country in which I was born and had so much enjoyed and sought to give back by all of my research exposing governmental complicity. It turns out in JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, and more. So I can only say the situation is almost beyond belief. Anyone who wants that documentation, I publish books on virtually all of these subjects at moonrockbooks.com. And while Amazon has done their best to ban them, there's still five of the six that they have banned are still available at moonrockbooks.com on the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, and the moon landing. Well, that's principally not because of proof we didn't go to the moon, but exposing the Holocaust narrative as an elaborate hoax and charade, because the Zionist political influence is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust, which is why they are so extreme in seeking to suppress any of us to speak out or articulate the reasons why it's provable that 6 million Jews did not die in gas chambers using Zyklon B, that the actual number of total deaths calculated by the International Committee of the Red Cross, recalibrated in 1993, was 296,081, none of whom. But where they were keeping copious detailed records of the age, the sex, the religion, the ethnicity of every individual, including their cause of death, none of whom died from being put to death in a gas chamber using Zyklon B, which was, however, being used to kill body lice to prevent the spread of typhus and dysentery in the camps. Because unlike what you have been told, these were not centers for extermination, but labor camps, and you can't get any work out of a corpse.
You know, you're right about the courts. You know, I'm the only guy in the country, I think, that ever filed for a grand jury demand, and Judge Richard Mates of Denver, Colorado, granted it. And he told the U.S. attorney to do his job, Henry Solano, which he didn't do. And on my first radio bar, you can hear the conversation him down towards the bottom of the bar. Now, I got anthraxed, arrested. Al Martin got arrested, the Iran-Contra whistleblower, and he was anthrax and held in a fictitious name. I somehow or another forgot the story what happened exactly, but someone informed me that he was in jail. And so I dug on it, and I brought in a congressman that got him out of friggin' jail. But he was full of anthrax. He was nearly dead when he came out of jail. Since then, they killed him down in Venezuela on an island while they tortured him. And a Mossad agent named Yuri DeBankel runs his website, almartinroll.com. Here's the point. In the grand jury demand, it names all the Bush crime syndicate, etc. You can see it on the front of stuweb.com. Every time I refile for the appear for the grand jury, they try to kill me. Now, Jim, you know, we're coming to an end here on the show, but you're aware of how they attack whistleblowers, how they attack us. Folks, you have no idea the amount of money I've had to spend in the past 2 months that I didn't have. Book. Jim Fetzer, the amount of money he spends and what he has to do to keep that lawsuit alive and other things, and the amount of, I mean, if you were to figure out what I get per month in donations on occasion for my hourly wage, I would be at less than 1 cent per hour with what I do. Jim Fetzer's in the same boat. And I know Joe's similar boat because of his activity pertaining to Arizona politics. We're all in the same boat. And I hear about people raising this amount of money and this amount of money. I'm not only asking for support for myself for the first time, but I'm asking for you to support Jim Fetzer, buy his books, donate to him. Now, Jim, give an address out. People can donate to you, that you have a donation button.
Oh, that's really kind of you to raise it. Yes, those who do electronic transfers can use Zelle to make a transfer directly into my legal defense fund at a bank right here in Wisconsin, just a mile from my home, by using my email address on Zelle. It's jfetzer. jfetzer@pdu.umn jfetzer@pdu.umn.edu. Using Zelle goes directly into my legal defense fund.
Okay,
anyone who's old fashioned and want to write a check or a money order, you can write that out to James Fetzer Legal Defense Fund, 800 Violet Lane, Oregon, Wisconsin, WI, 53575. I repeat, James Fetzer Legal Defense Fund, 800 Violet Lane, Oregon, WI, Wisconsin, 53575. Oregon is the name of the village just about 10 miles south of Madison where I reside. Very kind of you to bring this up, Stu. Right now, my petition to the Wisconsin Supreme Court is pending. If they turn me down, I am going to the United States Supreme Court, and I will most assuredly need the assistance of the public to get there. Anything anyone is willing to contribute would be most welcome indeed. As an alternative, by the way, you could go to falseflagconspiracies2020.com, falseflagconspiracies2020.com, where you can download all the presentations from a conference I organized on the 5th and the 6th of December of last year for free. And while you're there, unbeknownst to me, those who were, you know, putting this up for me posted a whole lot of donate buttons. You can also use any of those. There's a super abundance, sorry to say, but there it is. Those are three different options or ways that I'm grateful and acknowledge every single contribution.
Joe, do you have a post office box or any way of getting contributions?
No, I don't need
it. Okay, here's what I'm asking. Okay.
I'm all right where I am.
But if you want to donate to Joe specifically, you can go to stuweb.com, PayPal button, but make a notation that donations to go to Joe, and I'll send it to him. Any other subject either one of you care to discuss real quick?
Yes, I'm going to make an announcement. It's really a reminder. This comes from Whippy Wynn, an outstanding journalist at unlimitedhangout.org.
Good point,
this
Bill.
This July, there is going to be an event that they are going to dry run a hacking of essential services, if you want to call it that, around the world. Russia has been programmed to be the bad guy. But sometime after July, they're going to really implement it, and it's going to be the next step that they're going to do. It's called Cyber Polygon. Cyber Polygon, and it is going to be as eventful as COVID, as the COVID.
Now, Whitney Webb is an excellent reporter. No relationship, maybe clear back to 1600 or something, I don't know. No relationship. She's brilliant at her writings. Unlimitedhangout.com. Go ahead, Joe.
And what it's going to do is, when you put your little credit card into the gas pump, when they really do it and they really hack it, guess what? No electricity. So they've already done a dry run back east. Now think of something worldwide. That's how profound this is going to be sometime after July. They're going to dry run it this July. After that, they're going to really do it.
I expect the power grid to go down as well, folks. So, you know, hey, what can you eat on the grill? Do you have enough charcoal? Do you have enough wood? Do you have enough fire, whatever? What can you do to cook or to eat out of cans? Do you have enough canned food? Do you have enough things? If they shut the power grid down, communications among us stop. You don't hear Stu Webb anymore yelling and screaming from the rooftop. You don't hear Jim Fetzer or Joe screaming from the rooftop. The grid's down. You don't get the news. Now, I expect that to happen because I've been watching the events. We are living in end time prophecies, whether people want to believe it or not, certain ones. Dispensationalism, changing of the Bible and all the other stuff, so many versions and the missing books. I've studied this stuff. I'm no expert at it. I think one of the best ones is your buddy up there in Minneapolis, Jim. Jim, your friend, my
Sure,
friend.
I missed that last point. I missed your last point. I'm sorry.
I said our friend that we all at one time were doing veterans today. You and I are no longer, but I believe he does for a reason, but on occasion. But he's written some fantastic work. He does kidney dialysis. Pardon me?
Preston James.
You got it.
Oh, of course. Preston is a dear friend of mine, one of my closest. He's done sensational work. I think he's in kind of semi-retirement at this stage. But, yes, I'm a huge fan of Preston James.
He's written a lot about the fallen angels, is my point. What are known as the aliens. As Otis Johnson Super Spoke told me, because I lived with him for a year, and we built his whole house, put it on stilts, everything. The walls in the basement were collapsing, building the sunroom 24 by 24 in his attic, did all kinds of stuff, concrete his entire pool, the entire backyard went concrete, new fence, paint, everything. Here was the point. 1 year, I had my own bedroom, bath, had my own office. Just as long as you give me about 40, 50 hours a week, I'm comfortable. He spent a lot of money. He paid me a lot of money. I delivered him 2 times to the airport to U.S. generals, and one was Flynn. The other one was that fucking psychopath. Can't think of his name. I don't want to remember his name because I would have temporary insanity if I saw him in front of me. It would be my defense for hurting him.
Who I want to thank you and Joel.
He told me, real quick, there's 200,000 aliens. We're going to end the show in 1 minute. 200,000 aliens registered under the 1952 to 2012 agreements, which has been extended. Buffdale, Utah, where they have six floors below ground to monitor everybody, has an alien base on the south side. He came back from General Flynn's ride out there and told me that. He also told me that they have 200,000 of these aliens that possess human beings registered under the alien agreement, and that they have cloned in Hope, Arkansas, registered with the NSA 10 million humans. Plus, I want to add, they have the Robotoids, which is made out of new metal, Element 115 moves. Ask yourself a quick question, folks. Are you a black community out there? Because I have a large black audience. I met two of them in Kansas City. Didn't realize I had it. Ferguson, Missouri. Why did everybody get arrested that was involved in Ferguson, Missouri a few years back? Because they sent the Robotoids in with signs. They were black. They were shaking their buddies' hands. The Robotoids feel human. They could screw. They crap. They drink water. Other things to cool their intestines and their system. They fingerprinted everybody when they shook their hand. Everybody involved in Ferguson riots went to jail. With that, folks, Jim, Joe, would you like to comment?
Always a pleasure, Stu. Always a pleasure. Great to have Joel here. Joel, thanks, my friend.
Sure.
I thank both of you. Let's have a good day, folks. By the way, to add a little bit of humor, I'm going to put up a video separate from this called The Bird. You're going to love this bird, folks. I mean, it's a riot when you hear him. Now, Jim, you'll be able to view the bird within a couple hours, and you'll be able to hear the show, but the bird, you got to see the bird sometime next couple of days. This guy's a riot.
Got it.
Talk to you both. Have a good one.